and welcome to this episode of the EM Over Easy podcast. I'm your host, Andy Little. For the conversation you're about to hear, it's where John and I had the chance to sit down with our blog editor, Patricia Capone, to run through some questions through the Delve Deck and record this not-so-short shorts deck.
All right. What song must be played at your funeral?
Oh, I know this one.
Really?
That was very ready.
You should just go.
Yeah, Piano Man, Billy Joel. I feel like every funeral needs a sing-along song, and I feel like that would be my sing-along song. So, yeah, Piano Man, yeah.
Do you want sappy or funny? Because I have two that immediately came to mind.
Oh, I mean, you have to share both now.
Okay, well, sappy was going to be Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Ooh. Nice.
Everyone's crying.
That's 100%, yeah. That's 100% tier rate.
Which version of it?
Is the
big Hawaiian guy?
The super cool.
With the ukulele?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I really wish I could honor him more by saying his name because I love that song so much. But yes, The Final Countdown by Europe.
Stop. Yes, that would definitely.
I mean, just.
Not the Death March, though?
No, because you're already dead.
Yeah,
it would
that's
be the
true.
Dead March.
The Dead March.
Now, I imagine when we took John's casket, he'd want the Death March plays.
John Williams, Yoda Transcending.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Right? It's a really fun, it's very light. But no, could you imagine, right? I don't know if I'm going to do a casket or not, I don't know. But could you imagine like everybody sitting there and it's the opening to the song and it's like very quietly in the background here. Then it gets real quiet and it's like, was that music or what? And then you hear... That would just be epic. And if I did have an open casket and I could make it so that I would suddenly sit up in the casket,
my God.
That would be epic beyond epic.
Your funeral sounds traumatizing.
No, I'm excited.
I want my funeral to be a big party.
I'm going
to
work.
I mean, I already know that. That's why I don't know if I want a casket.
Yeah.
No, I literally have a funeral document already started because I want it to be like a party. Bouncy houses, hot dogs.
Bouncy houses.
A DJ.
Oh, bouncy
Andy's
houses
idea
could
of a
result
party
in
my idea of a party very different.
Yeah, no, I don't want to.
I have a large extended family where there will be kids under five.
And well,
so
that's
it's like,
true.
So
that's
I have to
fair.
Accommodate the kids under five. Bouncy house in the background. A photo montage with Billy Joel, Piano Man. And then as everybody's leaving, it'll be Spirit in the Sky as they leave.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. But you see, I want them to be like, so it's a Steel Magnolias line, but you know, laughter through tears is the best emotion. So they can cry to the Somewhere Over the Rainbow, but then it's got to be something funny like rainbow confetti blows out of the urn or something where they go, only he would do that. And it's got to be a really good dad joke if at all possible. Yeah.
And
those are really hard. Sometimes you have to earn them.
Yeah. Oh my God. You did not just do that.
Did you think that joke was dead or something?
It was something. No, there's definitely going to be a jukebox in the corner at your funeral as well.
Maybe it would be, well, maybe somebody could just hack into my Amazon Music account and it could just be my playlist.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it would involve random Christmas songs just hopping in the middle of
John's,
July.
And John's playlist is pretty awesome.
Oh, I know.
Super random.
Especially at work.
It's curated over years and years in the ED, although sometimes it is not my superpower.
Well.
Only once after someone dies. It's the worst.
What are you talking about?
Did I tell you about this?
You have definitely heard this story.
Oh, my gosh. I still feel bad about it. I don't feel bad about many things. I feel bad about this only for the resident. I don't feel bad because I had no intent. We had a sudden and unexpected death. And just, you know, not meant to be pejorative, but just the cutest little old man. And he died quickly. And he had just taken his dog for a walk and came back in. And his wife found him. And the whole thing was sad. And the resuscitation went well. But not amazing. It wasn't one of those where you walk out and you're high-fiving yourself. But it was one of those where you should walk out and be like, I did a really good job. And there were a couple of learning points. Nothing at all bad. And we were going to do a debrief. And so we did a very quick medical debrief. Like, hey, I know you're worried that there were a couple of things that didn't go the way you wanted. But look at your overall management and look where you started and where you're at now. And things are good. And, you know, I'm looking around, I'm still seeing kind of some long faces. So I'm like, okay, well, some music will definitely help this. So I put on my 80s playlist and reach over and reflexively turn up the volume. And I'm getting ready to type in the computer. I realize it's not playing because I hadn't hit the play button yet. So I've already got the volume turned up. And I hit the play button and out of my iPad at full volume right after this. And, you know, the nurses are still kind of drying their eyes and the residents are lurching up. Comes, oh, why? I just died in your arms tonight.
I was thinking it was going to be Queen's dun,
oh,
dun, dun.
No,
another one.
No, because I could have been like CPR. I could have, the I just died in your arms tonight. I just died in the pod right there.
Just
the resident does the slow turn of the chair to look at me. The nurses all look up at me, and I'm just grinning. I'm like,
That's right.
This is cutting crew from the 1980s, a well-utilized but often underplayed song, trying to cover it up like Casey Kasem. It doesn't work. Yeah,
John, you've got some really good timing after cases like that.
I have the worst but best comedic timing. If you're looking for dark...
I mean, everyone laughed.
Everyone laughed because you had to keep from just impaling yourself.
It's like I remember when Natasha Boydston, I'll say her name, but she had the code where the patient had the death poops and then she stepped in it and then she couldn't work a shift for a month. Where John, did you just look at her schedule and show up before every shift? There was a stanky leg picture on her computer
at the beginning
of every shift for like a week or two. It was terrible.
Yeah,
it was the best.
It was terrible. That's why it was a stinky leg. It was the worst.
All right, Patricia, your song at your funeral.
Probably My Way by Frank Sinatra.
Ooh, I like that. Nice. Cool.
That's not an untimely death reference, is it?
You went out your way? Yeah. I don't think that was a dad joke as much.
It wasn't a dad joke.
Okay. What seemed harmless to you as a kid that you now look back on in horror? I
jumped off a roof. 100%. I wish I did when I hit the ground. Oh, I stopped. So really funny. I don't know what possessed me other than that kid superpower of I'm a kid.
I can fly.
And I really do think that's what I was doing. My dad had always wanted a workshop. And so in the back of our house we just called it the shed, but it was a very nice building. Like it was a real building and it had like a tin roof on it and it was 9 foot tall, probably. He was around like 5'10 and he could reach all the way over his head and not touch it. That's what he wanted. Because he wanted a fan that he wouldn't hit his hand on if he stretched. And while they were still building it, the support structure stuff, you could climb up and get on it. And I would go out in the evenings after the sun had been out and it was warm. And so the air was cool and you'd hear the crickets chirping, but the metal would still be warm. And I would sit on it and contemplate, life, kid things for 7 years or whatever. Either my mom or my dad, somebody like, hey, John, come inside. And I stood up and I looked over the edge and I very clearly remember thinking, I got this. And off I went and I jumped and I landed. Every bone in my body merged. I mean, I remember feeling like my heel bone touching my knee bone touching my hip rattling my teeth.
Yeah. Your spine compressing on itself.
The cartoon where you get hit with a hammer and the eyes are like boing. My eyes were literally like that. They were like quivering. And then I stood up and went, cool. And just walked right on inside. And I was actually back home a couple of months ago and looked at that and thought, oh, I'd die.
If I did it today.
And it's not even like when people are like, oh, I fell 30 foot. I'm like, did you?
Because you're talking to me.
Because I've looked at 9 and really had to contemplate mortality. So, yeah.
Started thinking about my funeral and what they were going to play at.
Yeah, like now sometimes I'm kind of like worried about jumping just to maximal height from standing. Because what if I come down wrong? What if I roll an ankle?
A couple jumping jacks.
Yeah, no. So yeah, gravity, you rethink it.
So for me, it's the unsupervised time I had as a kid. I think a lot about that. Lived in Montana at the time. And the regular day in the summer was we'd get up, we would pack our backpacks with 2 sandwiches, a bottle of water. And my mom would say, get back at 6. And there's a creek like a mile from our house. And we'd ride our bikes down to the creek. And we'd swim and fish and make rafts out of sticks. And just all this unsupervised time. And then add that to, I remember, if it wasn't a creek day, it was a pool day. So then we'd ride our bicycles 4 miles to the pool. And we'd have a dollar. And if you got in for 50 cents, 25 cents for a soda, 25 cents for a candy bar. And that was like a day. And you just went and did it. And now I think about like when my kids and when I have my kids, like I allow them some unsupervised time. But it's like supervised time with me close.
Or GPS tracker hidden in their clothing.
Yeah. It's like the benefit of them having an iPhone is I can track them everywhere. And my parents, for hours, did not know where I was, did not know what I was doing. I think about like all the different ways I could have died. And they just would have found my body in the bottom of a creek bed, you know, maybe in town. And they'd be like, how'd this kid get here? And they'd be like, oh, he must have been playing with his friends. So the unsupervised time to where now I never once thought about being abducted. And I remember we'd be on the trail and we'd see strangers, but hey, what's up? We just act like they were like normal people,
Absolutely.
Down the street and extended family. And now it's like, don't talk to them.
I told you about my fun Disney experience with a kid that I didn't have. So yeah, Kim and I were at standing at Disney and there was a parade that was coming through and we were trying to position ourselves for like, the fun after the parade.
The
so we liked the parade, but we were being strategic. And I'm just standing there kind of half watching the parade, half not. And all of a sudden I feel this weird, warm little thing in my hand. And then it starts squeezing. And I look down and there's this kid, maybe like 6 or 7 years old. And he's like squeezing my hand, but he's holding my hand. And he's not looking at me. He's just looking.
He's assuming you're dad. Yeah.
No. He knows I'm not dad, which is where the story gets both cute and weird, right? So you're a dude without kids at Disney. Kim is in the bathroom. So now I'm a single dude without kids at Disney and I'm holding hands with a kid.
That's not your kid.
That's not my kid. But I assume the best in people, even kids. They could surprise you sometimes. And so I look down and I go, hey, buddy. And he looks up, he goes, hey, mister. And he looks back straight ahead and he's like looking. And I'm like, what's going on there? And he goes, I don't like Goofy, mister. Goofy's coming. Just hold my hand and stay cool. And I'm just like, did I just get told to stay cool by a 6-year-old? I mean, what do you say to that? So I'm standing and sure enough, like, here comes Goofy waving and as Goofy is getting closer, he starts squeezing a little bit. So I kind of like do a little half step in front of him and block the Goofmeister, who has no idea, obviously. Can't even see this kid because we're like 3 deep. And then I step back and his hand relaxes a little bit. And then I feel this tap on my shoulder and I think, okay, yep, I'm going to federal penitentiary.
This is the cops have caught me.
And I turn around and look and this guy who's in his 30s goes, hey, sorry about that. He goes, Goofy? And I went, yeah. He goes, I got it. And he goes, hey, Ben. And hey, Dad. And he lets my hands go. And as he's walking away, literally turns around and goes, thanks, mister. So clearly not the first time. I felt like such a plant, like I was something, but it was like a really cool like Disney magic moment with someone else's child. But he was Goofy's coming, stay cool. Yeah, I was like, all right,
Patricia, yours.
Oh, friend.
You keep forgetting that you have the answer.
I know. I think honestly, like, all the near misses. I almost drowned when I was 3. Never really thought about it until I became a doctor. And I was like, oh my God, 3-year-olds that are following their dad around the pool, don't know how to swim yet, and just waddling around behind dad and trip into the pool. Dad doesn't notice you drown. But my dad went in full clothes, full watch, everything. My mom tells a story. She just heard little splash, big splash from the kitchen window. And she looked out. And next thing I knew, and I remember sitting on the playset afterwards and like being wrapped in a towel and not thinking anything of it. Just like, oh, all right.
So imagine your dad all clothes in.
Yes.
You know,
oh,
because
you've met my dad,
Simba,
so
you know
quite literally. Yeah, I only imagine that is exactly what it looked like. And then mom just like holding me on the swing. And at the time, it didn't even register that was something that could have been
so bad
until I was much older.
All right, we got time for one more.
What have you tried once that you never want to try again?
There are so many things.
There are many directions.
One trial learning is a real thing for those of you that don't believe in psychology. That is a real...
failure response.
Yeah. Something I tried. So it sounds like something that you wanted to do. I can work with this.
Okay, Doritos and ice cream. John told me to try Doritos with ice cream, and it was terrible.
What?
It was not his build. You told me it was going to be a life-changing
experience. Did you do peach ice cream?
I did peach ice cream.
And regular Doritos.
And regular Doritos.
What are regular Doritos? Blue
or
red?
Nacho cheese.
Yeah, nacho cheese. The original Dorito, yeah. And I don't know if it was the peach ice cream I bought, so I'm tempted to try it one more time.
Okay.
And get a different peach ice cream.
Yeah, maybe I'll assemble
it
for us.
Okay, but that's not even answering the question, because this is that you would never want to try
again. Right, it was so bad.
Like, so bad.
Yeah. I appreciate that you have enough faith in me that you're like, I'll try it again and just go, it's not for me.
Okay,
but
okay, then here it is. Tiramisu. I don't get it.
I have to agree, and I'm very Italian. There's so many better desserts out there.
I had never had it because it wasn't a dessert that my parents liked. And then I remember I went to go with my buddy and his mom over summer. And his mom's like, oh, yeah, this tiramisu, it's the best thing in the world. And I had some. And I was like, nope, not doing that again. My mouth was like, it's light, but it's not. It's got cake in there, but it's too. There was too much going on. And John's just like,
first of all,
I have to rethink our entire 15-year
For all of our listeners, I apologize. They know not of what they speak. I will get you guys some tiramisu. So this is what I accept. I accept that a lot of tiramisu is not amazing and is higher quality than Build. However, when you do get the tiramisu, and I can attest to this again because of Kim, because Kim does not like coffee. She likes it more now. We've kind of done some adapting. But I have found her some tiramisus that are beyond acceptable. Disney Cruise Ship has a special tiramisu. It's all the things that you were describing that you don't like. It's the opposite of those. It's
very
light,
easy
it's
to
airy.
Mess up.
It is incredibly easy. And I'll put it in the boat with another thing, which is saying something. So a lot of people like truffle mac and cheese, right? You see it and you're like, sounds fancy. And never as good as you think it's going to be. It's never exactly right in your head. I've only had it one time where I was like, that is exactly what I thought it was going to be. It's amazing. That's kind of tiramisu. Yeah. So I can see that. So I'm a little less, but what the sadness in me is that you haven't found the good one.
No, that happened when I was 17 and I've not tried it since. 23 years later, I'm like, oh, we should get tiramisu. Now they got New York cheesecake.
But I'll give one. I'll give you a food one, then I'll give you my answer. The food one for me is root beer. So to make other people like, what? You don't like root beer? Never found one I care for.
It has a special taste.
Yeah. I keep trying. Can't. It's a tray full of tiramisu.
Tray full of tiramisu. Yeah.
Paintball.
I do think it's interesting that in John's time and leadership in the program, paintball has not been on the menu.
People can put it on there if they want to.
And I remember as a resident, we played paintball my intern year and my third year. And John, they'd be like, we need somebody to work. I'll work. John just volunteered to work on wellness.
Absolutely, because I won't be there even if I'm off. So I played paintball once, and I'll give you a quick story. So I didn't learn to ski until I was 25 or 26. So I didn't learn to ski, period. So we were able to drive when I was a paramedic. We were able to drive like an hour and a half to Wintergreen in West Virginia. And so we all like gear out and we go and they've lost power on the mountain. No ski lift, no ski. But we've already driven an hour and a half. We're all there. We're riding back and we see this place that's like paintball. And somebody's like, hey, we go in and they're like, well, if you got cash, yeah, you know, as long as you don't have to use a credit card. So we scrape up our money. And it was just be awesome because we have another team that had already paid that wants to play. So here we are in our like bright ski colors. Save me if there's an avalanche, right? None of us have ever played paintball. And the Cobra Kai School of West Virginia Paintball League is there with the camo gear and their own guns and their own bullets because they clearly weren't paintballs. And so the owners of this place, it never occurred to them that maybe we should randomly assort the teams or that this was a mismatch of epic proportions. So we go out and there's only a few rules. And one of the rules is like, you can't shoot people from less than 5 foot away because, you know, it can really cause injury and damage. And so I don't know what bad war analogy you want of lopsidedness, but that was us. We were just fish in a barrel having dynamite thrown at us. There was just chum in the water is all it was. We couldn't even get out of our little spot. We were just getting eat alive. And so I'm finally like, well, this is stupid. I mean, anybody that's met me knows.
John has decided it's not a fun activity.
I had reached that moment. And so I just stood up and they're like, you'll die. And I'm like, maybe, but I'm leaving. So I go walking out and all of a sudden this guy pops around the corner. And I'm holding my gun and hands up, like I'm like clearly
submitting.
Clearly, I am not shooting anybody. And he comes around the corner. He's like a foot from me and he points the gun at me and shoots me in the back of my hand, which is the only place on my body that doesn't have something cover it. And there's apparently video footage to this day of this, but I entered a fugue state is what happened because I don't remember.
Which is terrifying.
I don't remember this part. I remember waking up, sitting on the snow, packing ice on my hand. But in between, what I remember is he shot me. I flipped my hand around to look at it and saw the blood coming out with the orange paint and the throbbing of the hand. But you know, like when you hit your toe and you know the pain is coming, but it hasn't quite got there yet. That moment in between, wow, that made me angry, or wow, I'm furious. That moment was transcended, I think, by what I can best describe as rage. And so, using all the knowledge I had at the time, in this video clip, see myself, I have no memory of this, but it's a great clip. I put my gun out, flip his face mask up, aim for his throat, and fire 5 bolts right into his throat. He falls to the ground, and I walk off out of frame. And he lives.
Well, that's good.
I imagine he had to if you're
up,
a doctor.
He gets up and recovers as best as I can tell. I don't think I've confessed to a homicide, but the guy later said his neck was a smart in him, is what he said. So I'm sure he's fine. And again, talking about things that I would never do now, the whole time I'm not thinking about carotid dissection or...
Well, right.
I was just thinking, you know, well, let me...
You weren't even thinking.
I don't know if it was revenge or like, he might fire again. Let me take care of the threat. Let me take care of the threat.
You're going to try to...
Neutralize the threat.
As self-defense? Yeah, that's what we're going to call it?
Well, no, it was threat neutralization, right? I'd already been shot once at point blank range is how I would describe it to the attorney. Yeah. So anyway, it was a time. And I would never... People were like, paintball. And I'm like, no. Well, no. What are you going to convince me? What is... And now my opinion has shifted, mostly because of assault rifles and things like that, right? And not that, hey, I'm not cracking on anybody, but I get it. It's not a real gun, and I believe people should be able to have guns. I just, assault rifles, red paintballs, it's a bad look. But I could just say they hurt, and no. We have laser tag.
That doesn't hurt.
Why does it have to hurt? Laser tag, yes. Paintball, no.
Patricia, you?
Food-wise, probably escargot. My sister ordered it once, and I tried it, and I was like, yeah, this ain't for me. I'm good. And I'll eat all kinds of seafood, and, you know, there's so many things on the menu I'd rather order.
You don't want to have the living snot?
Yeah, like, ugh.
Yeah, had it first on a cruise ship, and actually, good. I mean, like, but it was because there was so much garlic butter in it. It was basically
garlic butter.
It was a vessel for garlic butter
to enter the system. It's exactly what it
like could have been bread, but instead was
we actually used bread to sop up
See?
The drippings.
How did I know?
Yeah, that's how much garlic butter it was. It was crazy.
All right, thanks for sticking around all the way to the end of that EM Over Easy episode. Don't forget you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, as well as on the blog site, emovereasy.com. And don't forget, the four of us, Drew, Tanner, John, and myself, will be live and in person at the upcoming ACOEP Spring Seminar in sunny Orlando, Florida, April 27th through May 1st. So head on over to acoep.org today to learn more about our two live shows and other great speakers from around the country and around EM. Until next time, thanks so much.